Let's pray and then we'll get started on why is witnessing so important. Heavenly Father, thank you for the hard work of the kids, for the static drama that we filmed, and I pray that you just give blessing to them as they review it in their homes even, and may it impact them even more than the filming did as they see what Jesus did for us. And Lord, today we ask that you would, as we study your word, help us understand how important it is to obey the Great Commission that we just heard Jesus command to the apostles. And Lord, grow us, change us, help us to be evangelizers. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why is witnessing so important? Our first session in this series, Reaching Out, we talked about why witness. This is why is it so important. And we're going to look at seven different reasons today, okay? And the reasons are actually explained to you. I'm just going to give you a key word for each one. So because we looked at the static, I call it a static drama for lack of another term. But we wanted to do something that didn't take a whole lot of time or had the flexibility to do in less time. But why is witnessing so important? Reason number one, let's use the word price. Price. P-R-I-C-E, kids. Price, because Christ paid such a high price. To not witness is to waste that price. Okay, let's look at Isaiah 53:4-7, and that's right in your notes there. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. We just saw that in the video. Lemuel didn't say anything. Lemuel posing as Jesus there. Remember that? Pilate was stunned. Guy had those big eyeballs. He couldn't believe that Jesus wouldn't say anything. I don't think I could have got past that if it was me. Okay, I probably would have gave him my 2 cents or whatever. Jesus fulfilled this prophecy that was written down 700 years before he showed up on the scene, on the earthly scene. Christ paid such a high price. He was, go ahead and tell me, you just saw it a little bit. Some of the, you almost call them special effects, thanks to Stephen being able to make some of those things work. But what, kids or adults, what did Jesus go through? You can just run him off real quick here. Okay, he was beaten, right? How many times was he beaten? Because he was punched, remember, in front of the priests, remember? That was before the guards got to him and whipped him, right? What else happened to him? Someone said he was spit on more than once. The priest spit on him. The guards spit on him. Anyone here think that would be a pleasant experience? I mean, if you want to turn somebody from not being mad at you to being mad at you, that's a key. Spit on it. And you can imagine a bunch of soldiers spitting on you or the priest spitting on you. And put it in perspective, you happen to be their creator and their Lord, and you're getting ready to die for them. Would you pack your bags and leave after that? Jesus didn't. What else happened to him? He was mocked. They were making fun of him. Both the soldiers, I'm pointing here because this is where we filmed that part, they mocked him. They dressed him up and mocked him, "Hail, King of the Jews." But they also, the priests were mocking him while he was on the cross even. If you're the Son of God, come on down. Get on off of there. All right? What else? Crown of thorns? Right. Lemuel wore a crown. Thank you for to the Spanish for providing that. And they had the cross, too. No thorns on it, and it still hurt. You can ask about it. Was hard to have on his head. It was just like, ow, just the prickly dry stuff. Can you imagine thorns that they jam on your head? What else? Yeah, he was nailed, right? Anyone ever accidentally nail something in? Even staple. Any pain there? Yeah, I can't recount exactly, but apparently the way they would nail, by the way, this is part of the hand, as they see it, wrist on up. But the way they would nail, it would be excruciatingly painful because they would nail it right into the nerve. You ever bumped your funny bone? Can you imagine someone nailing something into that? All right? So, yeah, the nails in your hands and your feet. Okay? What else? And by the way, we're not talking nail. We're talking massive spike here, right? Okay? A reed. Yeah, they struck him with the reed. They put it in his hand what'd you call it?
Scepter.
A scepter. And then they grabbed it and smacked him with it. I just struck with reed. Yeah, they prophesied to who hit you. That was the priest. Who else? What else happened? Yeah, this the passage we looked at didn't have it. And that's what Bear was asking me when we were covering some of this. It's like, why don't we do this? Because, like, you saw the ear lopped off by Peter? Well, Matthew doesn't tell you it was Peter. I think one of the other passages does. And it also tells you the guy's name was Malchus. That got his ear cut off, and also that Jesus healed him right there in front of all the soldiers. So you don't get all the accounts of that. That would be a lot harder. But he was pierced, right? Forgetting one small detail. Yeah, they pulled out part of his beard or something. Ow! You ever had just one hair pulled out? Ow. Okay, hair pulled, not just pulled, but pulled out. What else? What else happened to him? He was crucified. Okay? On top, and this is what we wanted, but what's crucifixion? They hang you and let you hang there until you die of exposure. Yeah, sometimes for days. Because of all Jesus went through, it didn't take a day. Okay? He was beaten with fists, and he was also beaten with the cat of nine tails, which would just shred your back. You know, that all of that. He would have been a bloody mess, an irrecognizable. Even in Isaiah, it says that you could not recognize him as a man. By the time you made it to the cross, you didn't know what was on the cross. Okay? Yep, we got that already. Pierced his side. Crucified, though, you sit there and you basically suffocate because eventually you keep sagging down. Gravity works against you. You can't breathe, and that's why they try and push up and try and breathe with their feet. So what do they do? What do they do with the robbers? So that they'll die faster because they're, you know, it's funny, but they want to make sure and observe the religious holiday. The ridiculousness, but they broke their legs. They just take them and smash them. They didn't do it with Jesus because he was already dead, but they just break their legs so they can't push up for one more breath. Okay? Jesus died that torturous death. And one other thing that I'll add here that we often don't think about, but Jesus took on humanity. He became a man. How would you like here, and I don't know how of any kind of comparison it would be, but for you to become like a grub, you know, a little worm or something, knowing what you know, doing what you do, and you become that. You change from a human being to a bug, a small bug even, okay? Not a glorious bug, something you'd find under a rock somewhere. The Bible says he went from equality with God as far as his honor and everything goes. He's God, okay? But he didn't hold on to that. He became, took on the form of a man, and even took was basically accused like a criminal and died one of the worst criminal deaths that you could die. So don't forget the step down. He did that for us. Okay? So why should you witness? Because Christ paid that high price. Don't let it go to waste. Don't let it go to waste. All right? There's probably more that we can even think about. Can you imagine? Even as an adult, right now, going back and being a baby. Hello? Anyone want that? I mean, you're cognizant of what's going on, and you're helpless. Can you imagine that? There might be key times in my life that I wouldn't mind going back to, but that would not be one of them. Okay? Being a baby and knowing what's going on. Okay? Christ did that. The humility that he had to show and experience for that. Christ paid such a high price. That's a key reason why we need to witness. The price has been paid. Why waste that? Jesus went to all of that, through all of this to pay that for us and the entire world. Why waste that? We should witness. Number two, I call this value. Value. Because of the importance of each soul, each person. Okay? Let me read you Luke 15, 1 through 7. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him, Jesus, to hear him, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance." That's hard for me to chew on or swallow ultimately, but Jesus says that every conversion is a big deal. He's not looking at numbers. He's looking at people by name. He's looking at individuals. And oftentimes we look at numbers and say, how many people, you hear this in kind of maybe leader circles or as people compare churches to churches, how many people were saved or whatever. And by the way, folks, you can evangelize, and we must evangelize, but we cannot save people. You understand that? People need to respond on their own, and God saves them. Right? But each soul is valuable. It's not just numbers. It's every person is valuable. And God says there's a party in heaven every time somebody is saved. It's a big deal if one is saved, because a soul is that valuable. Okay, because of the importance of each soul. Number three, I call this need. Because of the need. Because people need saved from their sins. Why share the gospel? Why witness? Why is it so important? Because of the high price that Jesus paid. God became flesh and became the sacrificial lamb so that everyone's sins could be paid for. Don't waste that. Why should we witness? Because of the value of each person's soul. God thinks it's a big deal. We should. Number three, because of the need. Every person you meet needs salvation. Every person is in need of salvation because people need saved from their sins. Matthew 1:21, which will be in Matthew 1 in our six scenes of the real Christmas, okay, in a couple weeks here. But the angel's talking to Joseph here, and she will bring forth a son, talking about Mary, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus means Savior in essence. He will save his people from their sins. People need saved. They need rescued from their sins. We're all sinners and we're all terminal sinners. We're all condemned sinners and the only hope is Jesus. People need saved. And so that's why we need to witness. They cannot be saved apart from witnessing. In one way or another, they need to be witnessed to. Faith or belief comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Because people need saved from their sins. Number four. This is the bigger word here for the kids. Purpose. Purpose. Because Christ gave His life for others. It's a little different approach than number one here. Matthew 20:28 says, just as the Son of Man, that's another name that Christ used of Himself. It's actually from the book of Daniel that identifies the Son of Man with being God. Okay, so it's a term of deity, even though it doesn't sound like it. It's very much, the Jews would know that when you say Son of Man, you're talking about the Christ, the Messiah. Okay, but it said here, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. Jesus came the first time for the express purpose, and you'll hear me say this facetiously, not to instigate or to begin a holiday. He came to save people, to give His life. His birth was the critical necessity so that He could die. And somehow we've disconnected His birth from His reason for coming and His death, and so the whole world can celebrate Christmas and not be offended or care. Okay? So that's the reason Christ came. Christ came. Christmas should be the most evangelistic time. If people understand it that way, it's not good news in and of itself in the sense that as we look at ourselves in the Christmas mirror, we say we were so bad that the only hope for us was that God Himself had to become flesh and die for us. That's how desperate it was. It's an act of total dependence upon God because there's nothing we can do apart from God. And that is what Christmas should scream to our face and pound in our hearts. That the only way that we can be saved is that Jesus came to give His life a ransom for many. That is the reason He came. Again, not to make people feel better, not to institute a new holiday, not to stimulate the economy through purchases in your local, store, whatever. He came to die. He came to be that Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. That is His purpose. That is our purpose, to tell people. Number five. I don't claim to be able to explain the next two as well, but I'll do my best to proclaim them anyway. Desire. Desire. Some would combine five and six. desire, because Christ desires all to be saved. It says that in the Bible. Did you know that? 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 6. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. What is good and acceptable? 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Why? Who, and here's the word, you might want to circle it, desires. It's kind of the word for wish. He desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Because God wants people saved. That's why we need to witness. Maybe we don't. And say, well, that's harsh. No, but sometimes we just forget because we're consumed with life. But God wants people saved. And that's a reason for witnessing. For there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. God desires all men to be saved. God wants all men to be saved. That should be our desire as well. Why is this so important to witness? Because that is what God desires to happen. People cannot be saved apart from witnessing. God wants all men to be saved. Therefore, we need to witness. I don't claim to be able to fully explain it all, but that's the facts. Now, number six ties into this. Some people would combine the two, but it uses a different word. It can mean the same thing, but it doesn't have to. I'm going to give you the Greek word. Desire here is the word thello. It looks like this if you're a Greek head here. Okay? Thello. Will is, see if I can, bulomai. Sorry, I'm writing in the Greek and English. It looks like this, B-O-U-L-O-M-I, okay? Bulomai, that's I will, I demand. Okay, it's harsher than this one usually. This could be wish, and this is will, which is I will it, and therefore it happens, kind of, into some degree. And those are the Greek heads. It looks like this, boulomai, okay? So it's a different word. Sometimes they're used interchangeably, so I won't argue that. But the Bible uses a different word, so I put it in a different step. I don't fully claim to be able to explain it, and I honestly think that if people can, they're telling you more than they know. Okay, but it says here, 2 Peter 3:9, God is not willing that any should perish. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that, what's it say? All should come to repentance. Now, let me give my little puzzlement here, my enigma. Who was using enigma the other day? One of my kids in school. The puzzle, okay? Why doesn't God just make people saved then? Why doesn't He just make them believe? Yeah, He gives them a choice. He doesn't desire it. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But He doesn't make you. And I don't fully know how that ties in with the whole idea of predestination and the election. Like I said, I think if someone tries to explain it to you, they might have some good ideas, but God doesn't go out of His way to explain it to us. But it seems to me that people cannot get saved unless you tell them, and people will not get saved unless they believe. Unless they choose to believe. Okay? I don't. And yet, and you look in the Scriptures, it talks about predestination. But when you look at these verses, somehow predestination doesn't violate God's will or desire, and he would do something different if he could. I don't know why or how that happens. But his desire that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, and his will is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So will is here. It's a different word. It might mean the same thing as desire, depending on how it's used. But God doesn't want people not to be saved. Understand that. It's very clear in Scripture. And therefore, we are to witness for that reason. That's very important. Because we're working in accordance with God's will, God's desire. And apparently, in the second verse here, the 2 Peter 3:9, the reason he's waiting is that more people would get saved. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So we need to, what? Witness. Because if you have more time, if people are burning in a house, and it said we can keep this from collapsing a little bit longer, but there's people in the house that need rescue, and say, good, we got 10 more minutes, and then we sit out and drink coffee, what's the extra time do? Nothing. Yeah, it's wasted. So whether that's a good example or not, but it seems to tie in that way. So, number 7 now. Since Ethan's in Bible college, I'll let him explain 5 and 6 more in detail later. So, the last one here I call life. Life. So that people might receive eternal life. It's because of what people can get. And when we think of eternal life, from a biblical perspective, the Bible says as soon as you believe, you have eternal life. It's different. We think eternity is just living forever. Okay? Let me ask you this. Who on this planet throughout history will not cease to exist? Yeah. Every person from Adam onward is an eternal being going forward, not going backwards. As we understand it, when you think of never-ending existence, that's everybody. The Bible says there's a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. The issue is not how long you last, because everybody from Adam to the last person conceived on this planet will never cease to exist. The issue is, are you existing with God or apart from God? Okay? And that with God is eternal life. You get the Holy Spirit that regenerates you, brings you back to spiritual life. And therefore, you are connected with God in a way that you weren't before. God intended for everyone to be that way, but that isn't the way it is. You're dead in trespasses and sins, right? It's the moment you're conceived. The Bible says that we need to be saved. We are saved. The Holy Spirit's there. Now we're connected with God, and now we have eternal life, the Bible says. It's not something we have when we die. It's something we have now. We're related to God right now. We become part of His life again. We become part of His body again, and therefore we're aware of God and we know God and we can fellowship with God in a way that we didn't even know existed before we were saved. And everyone can experience that. Look at this. 1 John 4:9, and then we're going to look at the book of John real quick. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might, what? Live through Him. Okay? Go to John. You know John 3:16. Let's quote it the best we can, okay? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have what? Everlasting life. And again, that word everlasting makes us just think of like a linear idea, but it's a quality of life. It's spiritual life. So it's not just a never ending, but it's a never ending spiritual life. Okay? Let's turn to John 3:36. You probably have heard the verse, it's just you didn't know where it was at. But John 3:36 says this, it's the last verse in chapter 3 of John. He who believes in the Son, Jesus says, has everlasting life. You notice that? It doesn't say will have everlasting life. Has everlasting life. All right? And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. That's the two categories you can be in on earth. Whether you're male or female, whatever ethnic background you are, whether you're rich or poor or somewhere in between, whether you're an American citizen or in the depths of some communist country, you're in one category or the other. You're one that believes and has eternal life or doesn't believe and the wrath of God abides on you. And that's the life we're talking about. We want people to have life. God wants people to have that spiritual life that they could have had before. And Jesus made that possible. Look at John chapter 5, verse 24. This says something similar to this. John chapter 5, verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus says, hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. And shall not come into judgment, so you're in a right relationship with God now, but has passed from death to life. Already, if you are a believer, you've passed from death to life already. You've left the death realm and entered a life realm right now. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're alive. You have everlasting life. And it's an eternal relationship with God. One more, John 10. This is pretty profound. But it's an excellent reason to share the gospel, to witness to people. John 10:10. Jesus says this. He's talking about thieves and sheep and all this. He says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Notice this. I have come that they may have, what? Life, and that they may have it more abundantly. So it's not just life, but abundant life. And he's not just looking at the future, he's looking right now. Okay? So, why witness? Why is witnessing so important? Because of the price Jesus paid. Don't waste that price. Jesus went through all of this that we have listed, the crucifixion and all that, becoming a man, a baby, you know, taking on flesh, going through all the difficulty for you. He had nothing to gain for himself. It was for us. Don't waste that price. How do we take advantage of that? By sharing that with others, witnessing. Another second reason, the value, because the importance of each soul. Jesus said, every time there's a conversion, there's a party in heaven. Okay, they don't party over people that don't think they need God. They party over the one that said, yes, I do. Each person, okay, is valuable. Number three, third reason, the need. Because people need saved from their sins. Regardless of whether they wear a tie or they drive a nice car, live in a nice house or not. Every person you see has the need for salvation. They are sinners and they need Jesus to save them. Okay, so we need to tell them that because that's the way they're saved. The gospel is the power of God into salvation. Number four, the purpose, because Christ gave his life for others. That's why he came, to give his life a ransom for many. That's the very reason. So it is goes in accordance with the reason Jesus came, we said, you know, for Christmas, is to give his life a ransom, to die so that we don't have to. To die, to pay the penalty so that we don't have to. The purpose. Number five and six, the desire, because God desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And number six is will. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's in accordance. Sharing the gospel, witnessing is in accordance with God's desire and his will. He wants everyone to be saved and he doesn't want anyone to perish. So, what are we doing about it? We have the power through the gospel to let people pass from death to life. And that's number seven, life, so that people might receive eternal life. That's something that everyone can and should have, and they can only have through what Jesus Christ has done. When they believe on Jesus, they're passed from death into life. Think of people you know. Isn't that something you want of them? Isn't that something that you wish they had also? How can they get this? By witnessing, right? Sharing the gospel. All right, let's pray. We won't sing right now. We'll just go to our break, and then we'll have, I'm going to pray first, though, but we'll meet as soon after, a quarter after as we can, okay? So that's only 12 minutes or so. If you can't start Sunday school till 20 after, that's okay. But let's pray. Lord, help us to witness. Help us to share the gospel. And there's lots of reasons. These are only seven. But I pray, Lord, that we would not be impeded by our own lack of understanding of you and what you say in your word. But there are things that are clear. One thing that amazes me, that Paul was willing to die, even though he wrote about predestination, he wrote about election and foreknowledge and all of that, he literally got killed because of his witnessing. He saw that it was that urgent and that important. Lord, somehow in his mind, witnessing was essential to your plan. And we see that here. We don't claim to be able to put the pieces together, but we understand that a biblical view of God requires witnessing. And we pray that you would help us to be witnesses for your sake and for the sake of those that hear us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.